coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, right here on the PSR Radio Network. I am Randy Bergen. Coach Rick Cleveland is in the house. Coach, how are you doing, my man?
You know, Randy, even despite this week, it's good to be here with you and Mark, and we got a lot of things to talk about.
There is no question about it. You speak about Mark. Mark, I'm looking straight across, eye to eye with you. Coach Mark Lasseter, it's always good to have you in the house, brother.
Man, it's always good to be here with you guys on a kind of a cloudy Saturday morning, you know, but I think it's going to turn out to be a nice afternoon, and it ought to be a great, great day here on the Gulf Coast.
Well, you're absolutely right. Coach, you talk about a lot of things to get into. There really are. Let's go to a sports-related, if you will. We're going to talk a lot of baseball today. Plus, you've got the Challenge of Champions coming up this weekend, and we're going to be talking with Arthur Mack about that.
Yeah, we had the – I guess you want to say the first segment of that yesterday at Cooper Stadium, and today they'll move that over to St. Paul's and E.E. Delaney Stadium, and it's it's a really big track meet. Steve Schoenwald and his team do a great job every year to bring in teams from all over the country into this meet. And so Arthur is the Johnny on the spot. I can tell you that Arthur covers this as well as anybody in the country covering a track meet. And this is one of the premier meets in the country, and we look forward to talking to Arthur about it.
And I'm going to tell you, Arthur, all you got to do is sit back and listen, because he will fill you in on everything in the world of track, no doubt about it. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking with Matt Limbaugh, Mark, the baseball coach for Bayside.
Yeah, Matt's just been at Bayside for several years now, and has just put this program and just built up on it. And the guys are playing really good baseball. They got a really good baseball team this year. He's got two or three guys that are going to probably go play a collegiate baseball after this season. But they're playing pretty good right now, and can't wait to have Matt on with us. And what a good guy he is, and look forward to having him on with us for a few minutes this morning.
And we'll kick off the second hour of the Prep Sports Report. We'll continue talking some baseball. Coach, we'll do that with the Robertsdale Golden Bears head baseball coach.
Yeah, we call him Bez, Peter Bezzeretti, and boy, what a great job he's done. He followed Kevin Raley over there, and Bez has done a great job there. Came from Baldwin County High School to Robertsdale, and he's just done a great job there, and his team continues to just get better and better. So we look forward to talking to Bez, you know, at the top of the next hour.
And then we'll turn and talk a little golf. We'll do that with David Armstrong, the golf coach for St. Paul's. That at the bottom of the hour, in our second hour. But, Coach, there's some things going on also. Got to start with a new head football coach at Pale City.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm a little apprehensive about talking about that, Randy, because Mark and I and Corey, when for years we were always the strongest advocates that we could be for Rush Probst, and for him to get second chance after second chance after second chance, and I'm a strong believer in giving second chances, but sometimes we continue to give second chances, and, you know, in this case, I'm a little disillusioned about this choice. I really am. There's a lot of young football coaches out there that would love to have this job and would deserve a job like this. And, you know, Rush is kind of the proof is in the pudding, Mark.
Oh, yeah.
And when the situation occurred at Valdosta, I kind of said, well, I think that's enough. So I'm in a different place now about this situation. So, you know, I wish nothing but the best for Rush Probst. I don't. I wish him well. I hope that he's learned his lessons. I hope that things are going to be better. Most important thing are those children in Pell City. That's the most important thing. It can't be about, you know, what can we do to get ourselves to the next echelon of our coaching. And it's got to be about those children in St. Clair County at Pell City High School. So, you know, it is what it is. I mean, the guy had, what, 5 state championships in 6 years at Hoover, goes to Georgia, wins 2 state championships at Colquitt County, and then gets one of the best jobs that there's ever been in the South at Valdosta. And I don't think he ever coached a game at Valdosta.
Well, that 1 year he had that. I think he had that 1 year where he had the quarterback.
Yeah, that's right.
He had to forfeit that first game.
Yeah.
You know, I'm with you about, you know, I know Rush. I've known Rush for years. And
you followed him.
I followed him to Alma Bryant. And I'll say that Rush is one of the most innovative football coaches in our time period.
He changed football in the state of Alabama. Yeah.
Tremendous football coach. Tremendous job of marketing his school. You know, he did things that are kind of outside the box when, you know, with MTV and how he did that with Hoover. But he marketed, you know, Hoover High School. He put Hoover High School on the national map. So there's been a lot of things that he's done that are positive in how he promotes his school and his program. There's just always been this underlying current that something has, you know, followed him along from Hoover to Colquitt to Valdosta. And, you know, I wish Rush the best. I hope, again, I know him personally, and I know he's been through a lot of struggles in his life. But I think there are a lot of other coaches out there in our state that young and up-and-coming coaches that, you know, they're ready for a shot and they're ready to give it a chance. And not necessarily just young coaches. There's some older coaches who've been assistants who are ready, or head coaches from smaller schools who may want to move up.
Yeah.
But Pell City made this choice, and, you know, I hope for those children's sake that everything works out good for them and that program begins to grow. And I want the program to grow and do well. I'm just a little, like you said, a little apprehensive, and it's nothing personal against Rush, but it's just, I don't know. I think that sometimes we lose sight of what we're in this business for, and I hope we're in the business of helping kids grow up to be young men and women that are good and solid and make the right decisions in our society.
You know, I spent most of yesterday talking to a couple of different people. My phone wouldn't stop ringing. I got a chance to talk to Mark O'Brien yesterday, who is the head football coach at Coosa Christian. And, of course, Rush had taken on the associate head coaching job there at Coosa Christian. And Mark O'Brien, of course, is a businessman, but he's also a football coach. And Mark fully supports Rush in this and has a great relationship with Rush. I think one of the things that I got out of the conversation with Mark was this. You know, I think it would have been good for Rush to stay at Coosa Christian for a year to be well-grounded in that faith-based school that they have there, and for him to be surrounded by those people that share the faith that he tells us he's involved in now. I think that would have been good, but they are completely 100% supporting Rush in that endeavor, and it tells you a lot about those folks, good people there at Coosa Christian. And you know, I think one of the things about Rush taking this job at Pell City, he's not going to be the athletic director. Xavier Robinson, former associate of Bill Clark, who, by the way, Bill Clark is now living in the Pell City area and got a home there on Logan Martin Lake. And I think he's very involved in things going on in Pell City. And there's not a finer guy in our business than Bill Clark, but and he and Rush grew up together in coaching. Bill's daddy was instrumental in Rush becoming a coach and certainly mentored him in many, many ways. And so I know Rush has got Bill there to lean on, and I certainly hope he will. But, you know, we're part of building players and coaches and officials up. So all we can do, Mark, is pray that situation turns out to be
– You know, I agree with you, Rick. Yeah. You're right down – right all the way through it. And what you just said about Bill Clark You know, we both know – I know Bill personally as well, good friend of mine. I could call Bill about say, Bill, I need help with this, and he'd
right
be right
now.
There.
Right now.
Maybe this conversation that he and Rush have had, maybe it's a conversation that's changed his life. Let's hope.
All right, let's take a time out. When we come back, we'll talk Challenge of Champions with Arthur Mack right here on the Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name in lights above it. This is your big debut. It's like a dream come true.
And we welcome you back to the Prep Sports Report right here on the PSR Radio Network. Randy Bergen, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster. And time to go to our Pops Midtown Communication Line and welcome in Arthur Mack. Arthur, how are you doing this morning? I know you're going to get us caught up on the Challenger Champions in just a minute.
Oh, doing fine. How y'all doing today?
Doing good, Arthur.
We're doing great, Arthur. I know the Open Division was at UMS Wright yesterday. And talk just a little bit about the Open Division and some of the things that you saw, because I'm sure you were right there and were covering it. And so let's talk a little bit about yesterday before we go to today.
Well, they had a whole lot of athletes from more than 50 different schools from throughout the country. Most of the out-of-town schools were from Mississippi and Louisiana and Florida. And even though the marks were not as high as what to be expecting in today's competition, you know, it was still a spirit of competition nevertheless. Pretty nice crowd. It was a little windy, but you had a few people to qualify for today's invitational division. A young lady from ARAB in the two-mile, I cannot recall her name for the life of me, but when she found out she qualified, she was super excited. I mean, she was amped up, man. And that's what this kind of meet is about, you know. With the Open Division, you may get one or two or maybe several people to, you know, do well enough to get into the Invitational Division, and that's a big feather in their cap.
You know, Arthur, I think one of the neat things today, of course, today at E.E. Delaney Stadium, I think things kick off, or they start about, what, 11 a.m.? Is that right, when everything starts?
Yes, the 11, it'll start at 11 with the field events, yes.
Okay, so it's an invitation. This invitational, if I'm not mistaken, it's an all finals format, right? Everything is final.
That is correct. Everything is a final.
And there's no preliminary. So, and that's at E.E. Delaney Stadium over on the campus of St. Paul's today. And if you are a track enthusiast, you certainly want to be there, because you're going to see some phenomenal athletes in the track and field area. So are there people that you're looking forward, or are there young student athletes that you're looking forward to talking about and to covering on today's Invitational Division?
Oh, yes, definitely. We have two of them from Saraland, Ryan A. Williams and the boys, and Morgan Davis and the girls. You know, both of them have done very well this season. Morgan, in fact, was the MVP from on the girls' side from last year's meet, and that's a good possibility she could repeat again, because she's the defending champion in the 100, 200, and the long jump, and you know, for last year's meet. So she's going to be competing in all three of those events today. And Ryan, as you know, he's a University of Alabama football commit. He's done really well in the 100 and the 200. He has the top marks in the state in both of those events, and he'll be competing in the Invitational Division. So he's going to be a young man to watch, too.
You know, we're talking to Arthur Mack, and Arthur, of course, covers the Challenge of Champions, which Steve Schoenwald has just done a tremendous job, one of the premier cross-country meets, track meets in the not cross-country at this time, but track meets in the country. And you talk about Ryan Williams, his 100 meters time, I think I saw where he ran a 10.49.
Correct.
221, like 21.28. That's flying.
Yes, that's correct. That is flying.
That's pretty. I want to talk a little bit about a young athlete from UMS Wright as well, Arthur Chitty in the high jump. He's committed to Samford University. If I'm not mistaken, his PR is, 6'10"?
Yes, that is correct, 6'10". Unfortunately, he's not going to be competing today, and that's really a shame because it would have been great to see how he would have done against some of the competition that's in that event. I think he could have easily won it, you know, because he's been jumping pretty strong as of late, but UMS Wright is on spring break right now. But believe it or not, Ryan Williams is competing in that event. He has a best of something like 6'6 or 6'8. Michael Moore, Mobile Christian, he jumped 6'8 at the Saraland Invitational. So they could be two people to watch. And you also have another young man locally who's done real well, Shamar Welch of McGill Tulane Catholic, who happens to be the 6A indoor state champion in that event. So, and when you put in Antonio Robinson of Blount, you know that the event is going to have a very good local flavor.
Well, I can imagine the 100 meters is something that everybody would want to see. And, of course, Ryan Williams is probably one of the ones that is a favorite in that. But, you know, it seems like every year at the Challenge of Champions, there's somebody from Louisiana that comes in there and throws a great time in the 100 meters, or someone from North Alabama that comes in here and throws something that's 100 meters. So are you looking for anybody other than Ryan Williams to maybe win the 100 meters?
Well, there are two individuals from Edna Carp, New Orleans, who have a pretty good chance. Raji Dennis and Cameron Hardy, both of them have done pretty well this season. Both of them are ranked high in the state of Louisiana in the 100, so they could give Ryan a pretty big challenge. Another man that can give Ryan a pretty tough challenge is Jerrion Graham of Vigor. Now, yep. Jerrion had defeated Ryan earlier this season, so that's going to be a pretty interesting scenario to see what happens today.
You know, I had someone ask me, how many attempts do you get at things like the high jump and the pole vault? And I told them I thought it was three. Is that still the criteria? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, if you miss at a certain height, you still get two more opportunities to clear that height. And then if you clear it, you go to the next height and you get three more opportunities at that height, correct?
That is correct, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, that is correct. I think that's very interesting. And since we are on spring break at UMS Wright, I know Charles Perry will not be competing and neither will Arthur. But those are two
Charles is listed to compete in the mile.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Well, he'll certainly be a viable candidate to win that. That's for sure.
Yes, he's had a pretty strong time. As a matter of fact, in that mile, there are at least nine guys who've run 4:20 or better. So that's going to be a very interesting race to watch.
All right, set it up for us, Arthur. Today, E.E. Delaney Stadium, give all the times that fans want to be there and what you're really excited about covering.
Okay, now the field events will start at 11 o'clock, and the running events will start at noon. The running events will start with a 4x800-meter relay, and that's going to be a pretty fast event because the defending boys champion, Catholic of Baton Rouge, they also have the meet record in that event as well, so it's going to be interesting to see if they can match that meet record or even break it. And, of course, I'm also excited about seeing Morgan Davis compete and to see if she can repeat as MVP.
Well, Morgan Davis is
about Ryan Williams, too.
Yeah, you're talking about two outstanding athletes from our area and certainly hope that they have great meets as well. Arthur, thank you so much for always keeping us posted on everything that's going on in high school track. Not only high school track, Arthur can really talk about just about any sport that there is because he covers it and does a tremendous job of covering it. And we certainly appreciate you here at PSR And I hope you have a wonderful, beautiful day out there, Arthur, because you got some great athletes to watch in competition.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Hope to be able to give you a good recap next week.
Look forward to it. Thank you, Arthur. Take care and God bless.
Okay. All right. God bless you, man. All right.
Take care.
Tell you what, he knows it now. Yeah, he stays on top of that, doesn't he?
He does. I mean, you're talking about names from guys from Louisiana. Arthur keeps up with everybody in our area, people from Alabama, and then when he has a meet coming in like this, he finds out about who's coming in and who's running, and, man, he does a really good job.
It's called doing your homework.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, we need to recognize Steve Schoenwald. You know, you go all over the Southeast, and people that are track and field enthusiasts are very familiar with that name because he is a track and field promoter.
Yeah.
And does a tremendous job. It's all about the kids for Steve, I can promise you. He knows them, he talks about them, he promotes them, and that's why he runs the Challenge of Champions.
We'll talk baseball with Bayside's head baseball coach, Matt Limbaugh. He's up next right here on PSR.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. The Pops Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
We are rolling through a Saturday morning right here on the Prep Sports Report. Glad to have you on board with us as we turn and talk a little baseball. And we're going to do that with the head baseball coach for the Admirals of Bayside Academy, Coach Matt Limbaugh. Coach, thank you for taking time to be with us on a Saturday morning.
You know what? Matt might not can talk. But, you know, he is they won two out of three against UMS, Mark. And I don't know why you asked Matt to be on this show today to rub it in that they beat us two out of three games. And I'm going to tell you something. Matt had the audacity to take a number one pitcher and take him to UMS and two hit our Bulldogs. Man, I'm telling you right now, Mark, I don't know if I'm even going to ever buy you another Dewdrop hot dog.
I'll tell you something. You go into UMS, you better have your guns loaded. I don't care what sport you're playing.
Well, they were loaded.
He put
that number one draft choice, that Gunther boy, on the mound, and I'm telling you, he struck out everybody that took up bat up there.
Good morning, Matt. How you doing, buddy?
Good, sir. Getting ready for another day of baseball here.
I hear you. First, I want to give you a nice Roll Tide. Me and Matt are good Roll Tide buddies, and appreciate you being with us this morning, pal. Tell us a little bit about your baseball team, big guy. Y'all are hitting your stride right here in midseason and moving through the month of March, going into April as it really starts getting sticky. Tell us a little bit about your baseball team, pal.
Hey, Matt, before you do that, how about telling Matt, before you do that, because I know what you're going to lead off with, all those two wins over UMS, but tell us about how you introduced how you proposed to your wife.
Well, I'm originally from Southeast Missouri, but I was raised a Bama fan. My dad was always a Bama fan, so we were about 6 hours from Tuscaloosa. So I grew up going to games, when I met my wife, I converted her into a Bama fan. And it was one time in the summer, I think it was maybe 2009, something like that, and I took her for a tour at Bryant-Denny Stadium in the summer and happened to find the right person at the right time and got to get on the field and in the end zone there and propose and had pictures of it. And it was pretty cool. And then that night we got to meet Dante Hightower, who was playing there at the time. And so that became my wife's favorite player after that. So it was just a neat ordeal and worked out a lot better than I could ever have imagined. And when we got married, my preacher said, now pronounce you husband and wife, Roll Tide. So it was just a neat deal. And then moving to Alabama just made it even better, being in this the rivalry with Auburn. It's just a neat deal.
That's a great story.
Now
he can talk about beating UMS twice this week, doggone it.
Tell us about your baseball team, buddy.
I don't know a sport that when you play UMS, it's not going to be just you have to grind it out to win. And obviously Coach Raley's one of the best coaches in the state of Alabama. And we knew we had to come ready and had to give an A game. And like I said, Josh Gunther was definitely giving his A game that day. And I felt like any pitch I called, he was able to put it right on the spot. And he did a great job trying to keep the good hitters unbalanced the whole time. And we were just very fortunate to be able to hang in there with them. And then that game two here at Bayside, it was definitely lost 10 years of my life right there. That was a nail biter, and I was able to pull that out. But man, like I said, that's just you're just, like I said, you're trying to get better every day. What you do, your team. And we still got so much work to do. We're starting to finally get healthy here, and we got a lot of work to do. But that was a great step. We've got a tough Orange Beach team next week, a series that we got to go against. So we just got to continue to try to get better every day.
When you came into to the second game, who was the was it Carson the starting pitcher?
Yes, sir.
And then who are your guys who kind of finish up for you? I know it's like you got a couple of guys who are like your closers. Tell us a little bit about them.
Yeah, we brought in T. Broadhead, a junior, one of your stud tacklers, their linebackers on in the football team, and he came in, gave us a couple innings, and then we brought in Gatlin Pitts, a junior, who this was his first outing since the first game of the year. He had some tendonitis issues, and so bringing him back in a tough situation. And he was able to close it out at the very end. And he's still, again, on his road to recovery. But that was great to be able to put him out on the mound. And he was my closer a couple years ago and led Baldwin and Mobile County in saves. And so he's been in that spot before. So it was good having him back there ready to go. And we're going to need guys like that to just help with Gunther and Joyner back there. Just that obviously you hope they can always go complete games, but the likelihood is not very good. So we just got to continue to develop guys out of the pen that can come in, throw strikes, make our defense work.
We're talking to Matt Limbo, the head baseball coach at Bayside Academy. And Matt, you got one of the great families in Daphne area, in our area, baseball. When you have a DeValk on your team, and I get, is Jake DeValk, is he one of yours now?
Yeah, Jake DeValk is one of ours.
Well, he's his whole family has been active in baseball. His mom and dad were big supporters of Daphne baseball for many, many years. And I know Jake I guess he's a pitcher, isn't he?
He's actually coming off Tommy John surgery. He's committed to South to pitch.
Right.
Hadn't pitched for us in a while. Just coming off Tommy John, this is the first week that I've able to put him on the left side of the infield. He's been our first baseman for us from
That's
the injury,
good.
So I got to put him at third, a little bit of short. But like I said, a great family, and Jake's a great leader in the dugout. He is so monotone, and you would never know if he was 15 for 15 or 0 for 15. He keeps the same attitude. He's a very positive kid, and the kid can swing it, man.
You know, Coach, you got two or three, maybe four kids, I think, and maybe even five. I've lost track, kids that have already committed to play college baseball. I know Josh Gunther, your pitcher, is committed to Wake Forest. Tell us about a few other guys that have committed to play at the next level.
Yes, sir. Like I said, I mean, we take this as, I mean, just so blessed to be able to give these kids an opportunity to play at the next level. And the main thing, help getting it paid for. And so that's a big deal. And we try as a coaching staff to do whatever we can to put their names out, to reach out to coaches. And I've said it 100 times before, all they can tell you is no. And so you need to continue to try to plug your guys as much as possible on social media and then just calling, texting coaches, trying to get your kid's name. But Carson Joyner, what we talked about, he's committed to Louisiana Monroe. Gatlin Pitts is going to Samford University. Like I said, Jake DeValk is going to South Alabama. Harry Brown, a relief pitcher, is going to Spring Hill. And
Jack Woods.
And Jack Woods. Jack Woods, our center fielder, is going to Delta State.
That's awesome, man. That's a great, great group of kids. And to have those kids being able to go play at the next level. And what I like about what they're doing, they get that done. They've got it, and they like it, but they're playing for their Bayside Academy teammates right now and really doing a good job leading that team. And I keep noticing a little bit is Noah Kane. Is he playing some pretty good baseball right now?
Man, he is. I mean, you talk about another great family. The Kane family is a good one. We I had Davis with me the past 4 years here, and he graduated last year. His older brother, he's at Montana State right now. Again, heck of a football player. And, man, his little brother Noah is a spitting image of him on that left side of the plate. And he was fortunate enough this past week to win the Mobile Optimist Club Player of the Week in Baldwin County. And anytime you can win anything in Mobile, Baldwin County in baseball, I mean, you talk about the pinnacle of baseball in Alabama, man. We have such good baseball down here, such good baseball players and Hall of Fame coaches everywhere you look. And so for him to win that as a freshman was a big deal. And he's just a scrapper, man. They call him, his nickname's Chip because he's always got a chip on his shoulder. And he's just a grinder, man. I can't wait to have him for the next 3 years.
You know, Coach, you got Orange Beach coming up. Another big playoff implications coming along with that. Tell us a little bit about that series coming up, where it's going to be, when will you play, and a little bit about the games itself.
Yes, sir. Like I said, Coach Slayton does a great job at Orange Beach, and they're going to be ready to go. Our first game is on Wednesday at Orange Beach, the game one, and then we'll come back on Thursday and play the two here at Bayside. And actually, with any type of game, I mean, games today, we got to be ready to go. You got to play every game, giving your A game, because you know people are wanting to beat you as well. So we just got to continue to get better every day at practice, continue to work, don't get complacent, stay humble, and like you said, hope playing our best baseball come playoff time.
Who do we got today, and where are y'all playing, Coach?
We are playing the Flow Nation, the Hurricanes. Coach Troy Brown, a good buddy
Coach
of mine,
Troy.
is coming to Bayside. We got 11 o'clock start here, and I just seen the legend Doug Leffert just pulled up here too, trying to get the field ready to go. So we're excited. Have a good day of baseball. Flemington will also play Foley after us, so we've got a little three-way tournament, a three-way round robin going on here today at Bayside.
That's awesome, man. And you got, and by the way, Coach, speaking of Coach Leffert, that guy does the most fantastic job anybody I've ever seen.
He is exactly where he wants to be.
Yes,
right there on that lawnmower.
He loves taking care of those fields. Does a great job. And by the way, I don't know if you guys know this, he is helping Landon with our middle school baseball team.
Really?
Yeah, and they won two last night. They won two. They won two games last night, and Landon was grinning from ear to ear when he walked in the door. And I think one of the biggest things for Landon, Matt, and thank you for helping get that done, was Landon be able to play or coach with his former coach.
That's awesome.
You know, that's awesome. That's a really cool deal.
Oh man, getting Doug Leffert. I mean, I've tried to get him back ever since I took his job, because I'm just like, man, he is a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah.
And him agreeing to come to the programs like me, getting a move in a 90 mile per hour fastball. I mean, that's a big deal for our program. And I'm gonna do everything I can to get him to stick around.
Matt, thank you so much, pal. Best of luck to you. I look forward to seeing you soon, buddy.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
All right, Matt Limbaugh right there, the head baseball coach for the Admirals of Bayside Academy. When we come back, we're going to talk about a legend in the Mobile area and for the Bulldogs of Mississippi State, Marty McDowell. We'll talk about him in just a moment.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
Mark, no Saturday is complete without this guy.
No doubt.
All right. You know we have to do it every Saturday.
Every Saturday morning.
You know, I like to dedicate this to Ben Thomas. Because you know,
rock and roll Ben.
Ben does not.
He hates
like
it.
Our music.
He loves that hard rock and roll.
He does. But, boy, you talking about a guy, one of the great guys in – in the business of sports writing. He is one of them, and he's at the top of the list as far as I'm concerned.
No doubt.
You know, guys, if you got problems with your automobiles, our buddy Chris Garris over at Premier Collision, 1177 Sledge Drive, and I'm going to tell you right now, we've got Tracy's car in there right now, and they just treat you like family. They take great care of you, and he and Tyler and our buddy Jay, you know, he's got a guy there that just does everything for him, and we appreciate Chris and Tyler and Jay and everything that they do for all of our customers, and if you have a problem, give them a call at 478-4500, and that's Premier Collision. They're right there in 1177 Sledge Drive, and they're going to be out in West Mobile, and we're looking forward to telling you more about the new shop out in West Mobile, and great people, Chris Garris and Tyler and our buddy Jay. Give them a call, 478-4500, right here in the heart of Mobile. Randy, I know we're going to talk about a guy that passed this week, a guy that is a all of us knew him. Terry Curtis loved him like a son, I can tell you that. He Marty McDowell passed away this week at 63 years of age. And, you know, one of the kindest, never met a stranger gentleman, always kind to everybody that he ever met. He spent 10 years, I think, with Ron Lee there at Murphy. And, matter of fact, Marty did a lot of coaching, but he coached at Shaw with Terry, I think. But a tremendous, tremendous high school football player at Murphy, played in the 1976 state championship game. You know, of course, Mark, you probably know who they lost to. They lost to Mountain Brook.
And Major Ogilvie.
Major Ogilvie. Who's the football coach of that team?
Higginbotham.
Nope, wasn't Robert Higginbotham. It was one Rick Rhodes.
That's right. Was that, Rick Rhodes. That was after Morris Higginbotham.
Yeah,
that's right.
And it was after Robert. Morris didn't coach at Mountain Brook. Morris didn't.
I thought he did.
Well, that was a long time ago if he did. But
maybe
Robert,
not.
But Robert did. I'll check that out and find out. But 1976, they went 14-0, defeated Murphy in the state championship game, and Marty McDowell put on a show in that game. He was a tremendous, tremendous player, and I know both of you have some stories about Marty, but let me tell you this. There was never a time that I shook Marty's hand that he didn't have a smile on his face and joy in his heart. And just a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous man. It's going to be a tremendous loss for the community of Mobile. And I'll tell you what, I probably had as much fun on the golf course with him as some of you did. It wasn't because how good our golf games was. It was because of how much fun it was to be with a Marty McDowell. He's certainly going to be missed. And to those people that he was so near and dear to, the Murphy family. I know Terry Curtis loved him, and Ron Lee, all of those guys did. Rick Causey, who spent many years with him, who's now the head coach at Davidson. It's a tremendous loss, and those of us here at PSR are deeply saddened by the loss of one Marty McDowell.
There is no question about it. Mark, I know you got a story about him, but I'm going to share one real quick. Go back to, I think I was a freshman in high school. I was either a freshman or sophomore. And playing for Baldwin County, and played a lot of special teams, and I was on the kickoff team. I was a headhunter, which basically means you go to wherever the ball goes. And we're playing against Murphy, and Marty's back there to receive, and Marty gets the ball. And I'm serious. It's like Moses stepped in and just split the Red Sea. I mean, there was nobody. You couldn't see anybody except me and Marty McDowell, and I'm right in his path. I looked like I saw a deer in headlights. All right, I'm telling you, my eyes look like saucers, and he is coming at me full steam. I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to stand here. And I kind of almost balled up, like, please don't hit me. He ran over me, and the next thing you know, he's on the ground. Randy Bergen in on the tackle. I'm like, yes, sir.
That's me, baby.
I'm going to tell you what. That boy, he was a good one. There is no doubt about it. I think he was, as a sophomore at Mississippi State, he was the first receiver to get 1,000 yards or something there.
He's special.
He was. There's no doubt.
Didn't he play with John Bond at Mississippi State?
I think John Bond was his quarterback, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, he's the number one draft choice of the Minnesota Vikings. coming out of college, and just a tremendous, tremendous player.
Wasn't that the team that came down, came out, beat Alabama at Bryant-Denny? It was the first loss in Bryant-Denny in years. I think he was on that team. If I remember correctly, I was actually in college or just gotten out of college when that transpired. I think that's right.
I know Vanderbilt did that one year, came in, and I believe it was Vanderbilt, wasn't it, or Southern Miss?
Mississippi State was the one who beat them, but I don't know who ended the streak in Bryant-Denny Stadium. I think that's right, and I think Marty was on that team, but I'm not 100% sure about that. But I'll tell you the story I've got on Marty was when I first came to Mobile. I moved down here from Hamilton. My first time I had moved to this area, I came down at Alma Bryant in 99, and I met Marty. I hadn't been here long, and I met Marty somewhere, and he just walked up and introduced himself, and he said, "Coach, if you ever need anything, I know you're new down here, and if you need something that I can ever help you with, please just pick up the phone and call me." And he gave me his number, and I was like, "Man, I don't even know this. I don't even know him. I'd heard of him, but I didn't know him." And that's just the kind of person Marty McDowell was. He was a guy who was always there to help and made the difference in the lives of a whole lot of kids that are better people today because they had the opportunity to play for Marty McDowell. And, I mean, I'm just our losses, our lives are a little bit lost without Marty in it. And we just hope his family and everybody does okay and gets through this time. But just know that man was loved.
You know, the funny story Terry always tells about Marty McDowell. When Marty was on the JV team, they had a coach that was coaching them there and who's a legendary coach, and I can't remember who it was, but Terry tells the story that Marty was the biggest player on that team at the time, and that coach had him playing at right tackle. and Terry and him always gave that coach a hard time because said, "You didn't recognize any talent. I mean, here's a guy that becomes the greatest receiver in Murphy High, one of the greatest in Murphy High School history. I don't want to overshadow Joey Jones and some of those guys, but Marty was in a class by himself, I think. And they played him at tackle when he was on the middle school JV team. And Terry loves to tell that story, but. Boy, I'm going to tell you, Marty, at Mississippi State, he was, they if I'm not mistaken, that was when they were in the wishbone. Emory Ballard was there, and they didn't throw it much, but when they threw it.
They threw it to Marty.
They threw it to Marty. And, boy, he was something special. But even as good a football player as he was, you're talking about a person that you just always love to see him come.
Yeah.
You love to see him. You love to see the smile on their face. Joy in their heart. Certainly going to be missed, guys. I know, Randy, I can imagine you tackling Marty McDowell. I can see that now.
Yeah.
I really can see that now. But coached by Robert Shaw. Robert Shaw at Murphy was his coach there. And he's one that we're going to miss.
Yep.
I can tell you that.
All right, look, let's take a timeout.
Yeah.
At Alpha Insurance, our goal is to be your MVP, most valuable protection. That means saving you money on home, car, and life insurance. Call Alpha and see why we consistently rank among the top insurance companies in the Southeast for customer satisfaction.
Coming to you live, the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And we welcome you into the second hour of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. And coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, Randy Bergen, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lasseter. Boy, I tell you, fast and fun first hour. Arthur Mack was on with us. Matt Limbaugh was on with us. Talk a little Bayside baseball. And we're going to continue talking a little baseball. Coach, we're going to do that right now with a special guest from Robertsdale.
Yeah, Coach Peter, I call him Bez. Peter Bezzeretti. And Robertsdale baseball is traditionally very, very good. And when Bez took that job following Kevin Raley, it hadn't missed a beat. Bez, thank you for joining us this morning. Late night call last night to get Bez on. And appreciate you coming on with us on PSR. Let's talk a little bit about the Golden Bear baseball program, because you guys just continue to be really, really good. And talk a little bit about how this season's gone so far, and welcome to PSR, pal.
Hello.
You mean you didn't hear that introduction? That was like you were introduced into the National Baseball Amateur Federation Hall of Fame. So
I did not
you missed
hear it.
That. Okay. All right. Well, welcome to PSR, Bez, and we're glad to have you on here, Coach, and talk a little bit about the Golden Bear baseball team.
We've had a really solid season so far. It was kind of surprising. I kind of thought we would take our lumps early, but we really had to beat some quality teams, and 19-7 at the end of spring break, and this team has really been an overachieving group. A really scrappy team that just seems like every game is somebody different getting a clutch hit or a different people having a great outing. So it's been a fun season, very surprising, to be honest.
Talk a little bit about those guys that are your seniors on this baseball team. I know when you talk about baseball at Robertsdale, one of the things that those of us who have been there have always known is that baseball is a sport at Robertsdale that there's always a lot of pride taken in. And talk a little bit about the seniors on this baseball team that are special to you, Coach.
Well, all the seniors are special to me, whether they're where they play a lot or starters or whatnot. But, we got Brayden Douglas as our center fielder. He was he's probably hitting about 350, 360 this year, doing a real good job in center field, stealing some bases. Cole Bolton is the left-hand pitcher and really good defensive first baseman when he's over there, and also plays left field some, depending upon who's pitching. Dane Wigstrom is a kid that plays first base for us, big old guy, 6'5". He's still trying to figure some things out to play, but he's done some really good things for us this year. Like I said, it's not really just one guy every time or just some big superstar we got. It's been kind of spread around throughout the season. It seems like one guy gets hot and this guy doesn't. It's been a very interesting season. But those are three of the seniors that have done a lot for us this year.
Pitching-wise, who's your leader on the mound?
Tyler Garrett.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pitching-wise, who are the guys that you send out in those three-game series? Who's your number one?
Our number one is Ethan Parnell. I call him a crafty righty. He's just very interesting. He's got thrown 4 or 5 different pitches for strikes and can really locate. He's not a real hard thrower, but, because he's just so pitches backwards so much, he makes his fastball look a lot faster. Our number two is Andrew McDaniel, who is our right fielder, a sophomore. Everything he throws kind of cuts and moves, and he's been our number two. And then, number three, probably going to be Jackson Lyles, a stunner sophomore this time around. And then, we never really go into a game expecting our pitchers to go to hole 7 because we've been using Dane Wigstrom and Taylor Jordan and Cole Bolton as relievers, kind of splitting games up, because that's just our pitchers aren't just really overpowering. So you feel like you got to give the lineup a different look after the second or third time through.
That voice you hear is Coach Peter Bezzeretti, the head baseball coach of the Robertsdale Golden Bears. And Coach Bez, a little bit about this area that you're in, and talk a little bit about the strength of it and who's kind of got the hold on playoff spots in your area.
Well, in our area, everybody's split. So McGill and Baymanette, Baldwin County High School, and Stannis Ford is our area. And then the first series, everybody split. So everybody's sitting here 1-1. Stannis Ford holds the tiebreaker, or not Baymanette holds the tiebreaker on McGill, but it's just wide open. And all of us, McGill, Baldwin County, Stannis Ford, and us, we all lost a ton of seniors last year's squad. So just coming into this season, I felt like it was going to be a really crazy wide open race because of all of us breaking in a bunch of new players. But all of us have a pretty good pitcher. I know McGill has the Hanson kid that signed with our Pearl River, and Baymanette has Trevor Murphy, who signed with Bishop. He's a really good power arm. And, of course, you know, Stan's Ford has two or three guys that run out there really good. We've already had that series of split with them. So it's just going to be wide open. It's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out over the rest of the year, because it's going to be intense.
Coach, talk a little bit about travel baseball and how much that affects our youth, especially growing the game with our young people, but also as much travel ball as a lot of our kids play, they don't get a big break. Talk a little bit about your ideas about travel baseball.
Oh boy, this could be an hour show right here. The travel baseball these kids are starting to play travel ball way too early. Okay, the 8U, 9U, 10U travel ball is nothing, in my opinion, but a money grab. It's sad that these kids don't grow up playing in the parks anymore and with their friends and all staying in the same little community. But I can tell you from experience over the last 5 or 6 years, the elbow issues and the arm issues I've had with kids that when you talk to them, they've been playing travel ball since they were 8, you know, they don't take a break, and they may not hit them even when high school. They may be a junior at Auburn, or, you know, and playing junior college ball when these arm injuries finally surface. But eventually, somebody's going to have to step up and get these kids to stop playing so much baseball year round at such a young age, because it is not a positive thing. I have gotten to the point now where I have pretty much told my players they are not allowed to play any fall baseball, just because they play so much in the spring and the summer. But a lot of times the damage is done with these guys that go out and play 5 or 6 games on a Saturday or a Sunday at 10 or 11 years old. And, you know, it's just not good for them. And maybe that's all been backed up by medical doctors and people, parents just feel like they're missing out if their kids aren't playing all year long. They need to be playing wooden ball in the backyard and playing basketball and playing football and all that kind of stuff. So that's my beginning take on it. There's more.
Boy, I'm telling you, Coach Bez, you got three people here that agree with you, and we're spot on. And that's kind of like the Holy Grail. You're preaching it, and we appreciate that. Bez, appreciate you taking time out today to chat with us on PSR, and best of luck to you and the Golden Bears the rest of the year. Those of us who have coached at Robert Steele, that's a special, special place. Thank you for taking care and looking after those young men on that baseball diamond. Have a great weekend, pal.
Thanks for having me on. All right. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you, guys.
Yep.
All right, Robert Steele, head baseball coach, Peter Bezzaretti. So, Bez.
Yeah, Bez has done a great job there. And everybody who knows Bez thinks the world of Bez. Kevin Raley is constantly in contact with him. They talk all the time and just thinks the world of him. And I tell you, he hit the nail on the head with that 8-, 9-, 10-year-old baseball, I'm telling you.
You see it. I mean, you can see it. These kids' arms, I mean.
They're going to give out.
Exactly.
They can't help it. You throw the ball, you do the same exact motion for so many times. There's only so many motions left in that arm.
I'm just telling you that. I hope Clay heard that. And not that Clay is an advocate of that. I just hope he heard it, because that's, you know, that's something that Turner's getting that age. Our grandson's getting that age. And, boy, he loves some baseball now. But Clay's about on the same page Bez is. I mean, boy, 8, 9, 10 years old. Let those kids have fun. Take them to the wharf and let them, or OWA, and let them
play.
Good gracious alive. Playing 5 or 6 games in a day?
I know.
That's what some of us used to do. Stupidity. We used to do that playing slow pitch softball.
Yeah. If you want your kids to wind up like us, let them play
baseball. Play baseball this Saturday.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. All right, let's take a timeout. Hey, when we come back, we have some things we want to get into. Yep. Some good stuff. Don't go anywhere. More PSR right after this.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market communication lines. Now, back to the show.
Mm-hmm.
We're glad you're hanging out with us right here on the Prep Sports Report. We're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. We're in the Genesis Room here at the Eastern Shore Hyundai dealership. Man, you got to come by here. We are watching on TV the Augusta National Women's Amateur. It's their final round. We're going to talk more about that coming up in the next hour on Southern Fairways Golf Radio Show. Rick, you'll love this. We got a lot going on. We're going to have a couple of special guests on with us. Bobby Hall will be here, the director of golf at Quail Creek. We call him Sweet Swinging Bobby Hall, no doubt. Sir. And a guy by the name, he's simply known by the name Voice, Matt Brandt, one of the proprietors of Boudreaux's Cajun Grill. He's going to be here with us. We'll have on our Strixon Golf Ball guest line, We'll talk some Strixon, and we're going to do that with the territory representative, Joel Claypool, will be with us, and then we'll talk with Mitch McConnell, McConnell Automotive. He is, you know where he is today, Rick? He's doing a little snow skiing.
Watch out for trees. That's all I can tell
you. God. But we're going to talk some golf with him. Got a great look on the Masters. We'll talk a little about that. We'll talk some Alabama football and talk about what's going on with McConnell Automotive. And there is one thing that we're going to share with you. I'm going to go ahead and give you a sneak view right now. Coach, I know you're on right now signing up for this 2023 Masters contest. It is here. You can do it. Here's what we're going to do. All you have to do is go to southernfairwaysgolf.com. Pick who you think will win, what their score relative to par will be, 10 under, 5 under, whatever it may be. You could win a Strixon Majors Edition stand bag, a Cleveland Frontline Elite RHO slant neck putter, one double dozen Strixon Z-Star Major Edition golf balls, and also you can win a Strixon Majors Edition golf towel by commenting, liking, or sharing the post. Now, this is over $650 value right here. All you got to do is just pick the right one.
Tell us how you do that again.
Just go to southernfairwaysgolf.com. It's right there on the front page.
What? What are you grinning at me for?
You ain't going to sign up for no golf bag.
I might. Why won't you? I said I might.
Who do you think might win the Masters? Do you think
Don't Scottie, give me names. Don't huh? give me names.
Okay.
Don't give me names. Who might win the Masters, Mark?
I heard you say Scottie Scheffler a while ago.
No, you did not.
He did say Scottie Scheffler to me.
That's who I think is going to win it.
He's going to go back to back.
I think he's going to do it again.
Okay.
He All said right. Jack Nicklaus.
I did not say Jack Nicklaus.
Dude, you got to get in line, man.
Jack and Arnold and Gary will be the first three.
Oh, my goodness.
That a boy, Mark. That's all right.
I was actually pulling for Lee.
Trevino. Oh, my goodness. But, no, hey, do go online to do that. Southernfairwaysgolf.com. You can sign up. And who knows? You might win. So just pick the right one.
You never
one.
Know.
Just
I pick could the use right a one. New good golf bag.
And you can. But do check us out in the next hour coming up at 10 o'clock. It is Southern Fairways Golf Radio Show. And we'll have a lot of fun. I promise you. We've got some great tips for you. And we'll have some giggles along the way. No doubt about it. Coach?
You know, we got another kid that is going to IMG.
Saw that.
You know that?
Running back.
Yeah, running back out of Pike Road. And a lot of news coming out of Pike Road. You know, Pike Road's that new school out there on the Troy Highway, I guess.
Yeah.
Going out of Montgomery. And, you know, Patrick Browning was the head coach there, won a state championship in 5A. A great, great football team. Patrick Browning left and went to Greenville for a minute. Now he's the quarterback coach at Alabama State. Ed Rigby comes in from Eufaula. Ed takes the job for a year. Now he's resigned to take the job. And love Ed Rigby. If you've interviewed Ed Rigby, he's a wonderful, wonderful guy to talk to. He resigned and took the job at Luverne, where Glenn Daniel won more games than I guess anybody's ever won in the Wiregrass. And now they've hired Granger Shook. Now, Granger played at Trinity for Randy Ragsdale, then went over to Huntington and played for Mike Turk at Huntington, did a great job there. He coached, he coached at Thompson for a year and had a couple of other assistant jobs and then came back and got the Trinity job when I really thought the guy from Sylacauga might get that job, the guy that was the Matt –
God.
What's Matt?
I've got brain lock.
I do too. I should know it, but I thought Matt was close to getting that job, and so Matt Griffin.
Right.
And so now Granger has resigned at his alma mater and is going to take the job at Pike Road. So, you know, my concern about Pike Road is I don't know where the tax base is to fund that school. I think that's
one. Is it a county school? It's a county school, isn't it?
I'm not sure. I think it's a city. I thought it was a city school, but it may be. It may be. But there's no industry out there. I mean,
I don't understand why they're having so much coaching turnover.
I don't either. That's something that concerns me.
Because it would seem to me like it's a school that is going to win.
Yeah. Well, their facilities are not really very good right now. Okay. I mean, they're really lacking in facilities. I think they've got some plans on the board, but it's facility-wise, it's just not close to being.
I don't know enough to talk about it a whole lot, but I know they got tremendous athletes.
And they do.
But I just hate – I'll be honest with you. I hate seeing kids leave their school where they've grown up to go to IMG Academy. But maybe it's best for them. I don't know their family situation. Well, I just never have been able to figure out why kids – I mean, they go to this – IMG Academy. Now, they're going to get recruited, but you're going to get recruited at your own school.
Well, Coach, he's already got offers from Alabama, Auburn, Florida, Florida State, Arkansas. I mean, he's got every offer that he would ever want. He's a sophomore. He just gained 1,600 yards. I think he had a couple of touchdowns catching the ball. Anthony Rogers is his name, and he is a heck of a football player. So
Coach, well, kind of for the listeners, what is the advantage to going to IMG?
Well, really, I don't know what the advantage is, to be honest with you. When you've got all those offers, I think your table is already set. You know, he made the comment that he wanted to be able to become a better man, to become a better player around other people.
Other people who are in the same
athletic talent that he
skill
is.
Skill level, and,
So, you know, recruiting wise, I mean, the kid, everybody knows.
Everybody's offered him.
If Coach Saban's offered him, and Hugh Freeze has offered him, and the guys at Florida State have offered him, and Florida and Arkansas, all of those guys know him and have offered him. So, he's in pretty good company as far as having an offer on the table. So,
well, could it have to do with? I don't know enough about IMG Academy. But could it have something to do with the coaches that are there that are tied into colleges or what have you are on the – isn't the school like a – they go to school, they go to class, but they're also – there's a big push for being the best football player, being the best basketball player that you can possibly be.
You know who we can ask about that, and we'll get him on. We'll get Josh Niblett on because Josh's brother just left Gainesville High School in Gainesville, Georgia, to take a job at IMG.
Really?
So that would be that. That's an interesting.
Did he really?
Thing. Yeah, he did.
It's a private school.
Not his brother that was at Foley. Another brother that was
with him there.
Yeah. With him at Gainesville. Yeah. And so he's left now to take a job at IMG. So Josh would know about that, and Josh would be very candid about IMG. Cool. I'm sure they played him when he was at Hoover.
Yeah.
But they've changed coaches again. I mean, they've got a new coaching staff coming in at IMG. So I really don't know.
I don't know enough about that. I really don't.
You know, the softball rankings are out. We'll talk a little bit about that. This better be the only time we can.
And you got a minute.
We're going to try to get a hold of David Armstrong at St. Paul's.
Yeah.
He told me last night you may not be able to get me because they're getting set up for prom, I think, is what they've got, and he might be in a place where he can't answer the phone. But we're going to try anyway to get him. He's going to talk to us about the Azalea City Classic, which is next week. It's a big tournament that's hosted by St. Paul's out at Azalea City, and it'll be a lot of fun out there next week.
Let's go through these softball rankings real quick. In 7A, Thompson is number one. Wetumpka is number one in 6A. Springville, number one in 5A. Curry, number one in 4A. Plainview, got some news coming out of Plainview, too, if you're a basketball fan. They're one in 3A. Wicksburg, one in 2A. And Skyline, 1A. In baseball, Tuscaloosa County, number one in 7A. Oxford, number one in 6A. Headland, number one in 5A. Bayside Academy, number one in 4A. Gordo in 3A. G.W. Long in 2A. Appalachian in 1A. And then AISA, Macon East in softball, and Glenwood in Phenix City, number one in baseball.
We're back in a moment.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
Oh, my goodness. There you go right there, little Boss Gags on a Saturday morning.
Man,
it doesn't get any better than that, does it? Hey, welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster. Glad to have you on board with us. And, guys, we're going to talk a little golf. Got a big tournament coming up this week. I'm going to talk that golf with St. Paul's golf coach David Armstrong on our Pops Communication Line. Coach, how you doing, pal?
I'm great. How are you guys? Morning. Happy April Fools.
I wish you hadn't reminded me.
I'll
get pranked on all day
today.
Come
on, David. Man.
That's right.
We're going to get Shane Sullivan to give you a demerit for that.
That's right. I need one.
Hey, David, tell us, man. I wanted to have you on, and I just want you guys to know this guy has done a fantastic job at St. Paul's. Helps us all year long getting in varsity matches and tournaments and middle school and JV. He's helped make a big push for that, and just a kind spirit. And, man, David, I can't tell you how much I appreciate all your work you've done to help get all these young kids out playing out at Azalea City this year. And thank you for that. But tell us a little bit about the Azalea City tournament you got coming up, a big tournament that you guys host every year.
Well, I appreciate it, Coach. Yeah, we're excited. We've got 16 different teams coming down to compete, and over 100 golfers will be playing in it over 2 days. And the cool thing about the Azalea City Invitational, it makes it a little bit different, nice break in the middle of the season, is we play 36 holes on Monday. So that's a long day for the guys. But we do 18 holes of best ball in twosomes in the morning and then 18 holes of scramble in the afternoon. So it's a different format for our guys. You get to see them hopefully go low Monday. And then Tuesday we follow it up with 18 more holes of stroke play. So teams are bringing teams of six instead of five. So we get some different guys playing that haven't played all season. And it's just exciting to see this format. And I think the guys enjoy it Monday too, getting out there to go, and especially that afternoon scramble round.
We're visiting with Coach David Armstrong, the head golf coach for St. Paul's. Coach, let me ask you this real quick. And now, how many teams will you have at this tournament?
Yeah, we have 16 teams of six. So we've got, I think, all of the best teams locally in the area. Obviously, we're hosting it at St. Paul's, and we've got Bayside and Gulf Shores and UMS and McGill and Fairhope and Spanish Fort and Daphne, all of them will be there. Nice. And then we've got a bunch of teams traveling from out of town. Mountain Brook, Vestavia, Houston Academy, Hoover, Auburn is coming this year for the first time. So we've got, I think, three different defending state champions, multiple runner-ups, and a lot of individual state champions from last year going to be playing in the tournament. So it should be a competitive field.
And it should be. And one of the things you say for the first time, guess what will happen, Mark, for the first time? Lawrence Auer won't be there. Yesterday was his last day after 30 years at Azalea City.
We actually had our practice round yesterday after school. We had a half day at St. Paul's, so we went out there and did nine holes of best ball and nine holes of scramble as a team. And when we went in, he was having his retirement party with just a few of his friends in the clubhouse after. And he has been such a friend, not only to St. Paul's in this tournament, but also to junior golf in the area. So we are definitely going to miss him at Azalea, but super excited to be working with Colin McKern, who's taken over for him. he's already been a great help getting us ready for this tournament. He has some awesome ideas for Azalea City, both the tournament and the course moving forward. So we're excited about that as well.
Coach, tell us a little bit about what time everything kind of kicks off. If folks want to come watch the tournament, what they do, what time to be there, what they need to do when they get there, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, so Monday, hopefully, the weather's looking a little bit dicey with some rain, but Monday is the fun day to come watch. We will do a shotgun start at 8:30 for all the teams going out. In the morning, 18 will be our best ball round. So each school will be paired up with one other school. So they'll be playing in foursomes, two from each team. They'll do best ball in the morning. And then we do a pretty quick turnaround. So we'll collect the scorecards. The boys will actually stay on the course, and we'll give them lunch, whatever hole they finish on. And then about 30 minutes after the best ball round ends, they get a little bit of a break and some food in them. They'll go out for 18 holes, hopefully around 1:30 for their scramble round in the afternoon. So if spectators want to come out, there is spectator carts available, and they can follow along those different groups. And then Tuesday, the individual stroke play will get going with an 8:30 shotgun start as well.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of good teams coming. Some of the best teams in the state will be there. And, David, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to join us this morning and tell us about the tournament. And I know you got to get back to work. I know you're busy this morning, so we won't keep you any longer. But thank you for joining us, and thank you for what you do for golf in our area, pal.
Well, I appreciate you guys as well and all the support you give. And that's right, I'm down at the Battle House getting ready for our prom tonight. So it'll be a long weekend getting ready for both that and our tournament come Monday.
There you go. Buddy, take care, and we'll see you on Monday. Okay, bud?
All right. I appreciate you guys. Thanks.
Thank you, man.
You know, David mentioned Auburn. You know, I'm not so sure that Auburn High School right now doesn't have one of the top athletic programs in the South. I just noticed this past week their girls tennis team won a huge, I'm talking about a huge high school tennis tournament. Jason Abraham over at McGill puts on a boys tournament and a girls tournament every year. And they bring in, Jason has brought in some of the premier teams in the South to that, to those two tournaments. And generally, as a matter of fact, the boys tournament 2 weeks prior to this one, Madison Central out of Madison, Mississippi won it, won the boys tournament. And this last weekend, Auburn won the girls tournament, and they beat a plethora of really outstanding teams throughout the Southeast. But you look at their baseball program, it's outstanding. It's just absolutely outstanding. Their football program was a state championship caliber football team. Their basketball team has had a phenomenal season. Their golf team, I'm sure, is outstanding.
Yeah, it's very good.
You're talking about a system, a city school system that is really poured in academically and athletically. And, you, I mean, houses constantly being built in that Auburn area. It's, I mean, that school system continues to grow. It's a place where a lot of people want to live. It's around Lake Martin. You're, what, 15, 20 minutes from there.
Close.
It's, but boy, they have had, just hearing him mention that Auburn would be here, I think sometimes, and that's something we could do a whole show on, talking about the great athletic programs in our state that are, that continue to be strong in every sport that there is.
Right.
So, congratulations to those guys in Auburn that do such a great job there. And boy, you talking about Lawrence Auer. He is, you talking about, that's a special guy there.
We had him on the show a couple of weeks ago talking about his retirement. And, you know, he has been so good for Azalea. He's been so good for the city of Mobile and certainly junior golf.
Yes.
And just an advocate of golf. And
yep.
He's going to be missed there. But it's like he said, hey, he retires on March the 31st, which was yesterday. He said, who knows? There's a 50-50 shot. I'll be back out here, but it won't be to unlock the doors. It'll be to tee it up and play on
there
Saturday morning.
There you go. That's
good. I hope he's out there playing today, but we'll get him back on the show for sure. He's an awesome dude, and really enjoy being around him.
Shameless plug here, Randy. Mm-hmm. Boom's Kitchen.
Let's talk real quick. If you're in the Spanish Fort area, you're going to be around Bass Pro Shop somewhere in that area. Coming from Mobile, Pensacola, Central Alabama, go by and see Boom at Boom's Thai Kitchen at the Fort. They got a lot going on up there. Got some new vendors that will be coming in, but Boom's Thai Kitchen, it is. Yes, this sounds a little homerish, if you will, but it's why I look like I do, Mark, okay? It's because that food is phenomenal. And
no comment.
I'm not going to say a thing.
No comment on anything.
I don't have an excuse. No. I'm just Tubbo.
Okay. You're a wrestler.
Yeah.
You're a wrestler.
You
wrestler. But go by and see her at Boom's Thai Kitchen. Right there. Got some neat food up there.
Another plug for an old friend, an old Prattville friend. Hootie Gibson.
Hootie Gibson.
Yeah. You know Hootie?
I know Hootie.
Well, I would think that you would, but yeah. Hootie has now opened up a business called Cardiologist. And they sell golf carts. And I walk in to get our golf cart fixed at Cardiologist at Orange Beach, and there sits Hootie. And I've been talking to a guy on the phone named Hootie, and I didn't know it was Hootie Gibson.
From Prattville, Alabama.
He and his family owned a tire store there. And yep. His dad was the director of the ABC board in Alabama, was a state senator there for a long time. And we want to give Cardiologist a plug this morning. If you're looking for a golf cart, and we're going to bring some more information in as we go forward with that. But
you know, and that's the thing right now. I mean, you down in that Orange Beach area, there's so much growth going on. So many of these communities, they allow you to have the golf courts right there in Glen Lakes. That place is exploding.
Yep.
And
Fairhope is too.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Shout out to Cardiologist in Fairhope.
There you go. All right, we'll take our final time out of the Prep Sports Report. When we come back, Mark has our grace segment.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, every day I get a text message from Coach Cleveland. Every morning sends us a little something to help us start our day. And this week he sent something on Tuesday that I think is applicable to all of us just about every day of our life. It comes from Psalms 29:11, where it says, "Lord, thank you for giving us strength to face the difficult challenges. Thank you for going even further and offering peace even in incredibly hard times. You are a source of all we need, and we are grateful." You know, yesterday, I had a couple of friends, people I know that were having a tough times. And I was able to sit in office and share just a moment of some things that I've learned about how to handle tough times. And I'm not saying that I know a lot about it, but I've been through some tough spots in my life. And I've learned more and more as I get older how to handle stuff that's given me pause or given me a heart sick feeling. Or just pain in my heart and in my mind. And I'm so fortunate that I still have both of my parents. My daddy turned 87 this month. And mama's going to be 83 in, I think 82, maybe 82, I can't remember, in May. But they're still, I talk to them at least 3 or 4 times a week. And right after we had the coaching search at Bayside and when it came to an end, you know, I talked to my dad and we've hired, of course, Barrett Trotter, and as many folks know, you know, I applied for the job and was, you know, wanting to, you know, I wanted, I thought it'd be a great thing. Well, I found out there's a whole different deal for me in my life today, and it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with how my son put it several years ago, and he said, I can't wait to see how God spends your life from here on out, Dad. And I was like, you know, he's right about that. What I learned was that I don't have to prove anything to anybody, anytime, anywhere. Only thing I have to do is prove to myself and be happy within inside my own skin. So when God gives us tough times to deal with, how you come out of it kind of marks who I am. This is my own opinion now. But I knew that there's no sense getting, you know, what things that have happened. I'm not going to sit around and get beat up about it. I'm not going to beat myself up about it. What I'm going to do is say, what am I supposed to do from here? And, man, I'm telling you, that has transformed my life. My daddy told me, he says, sit back and think about and be grateful for and don't forget where you are and how you got to where you are today. And he was exactly right. I'm so grateful that I do get up every morning. I take a breath and I go, yep, it's going to be a good day because I'm able to breathe this morning. And as I watch friends of mine that are having tough times, I think to myself those same things. This too's going to pass. God has given us a way to handle things that are very difficult and things that we don't understand and why we're having to deal with it. We don't understand it. But if we listen and we pay attention, I'll know how to handle it. I'll know how to do it. And there's a peace in there that God has given me that I can move forward and realize that I don't have to have this or that to make me happy, because what's inside my heart and what's inside my life and the things I have gratitude for today are enough.
Wow. Mark, that reminds me of something that's happened in the last 2 weeks in one of our former players' lives. You know, one of the things, as we grow older, one of the things that is near and dear to our heart is our former players.
Yeah.
I hear you talk about them all the time. I have a young man that played for us in one of my first coaching jobs at Northview High School in Dothan. His name's Don Jordan. Don Jordan was a little bitty feisty, little bitty offensive, defensive lineman, played anywhere you ask him to play. Well, he relocated to Mobile a few years back. His daddy owned a pile driving company. Don had a son, has a son named Will, that came to us at UMS Wright. And when you have a player who is the son of one of your former players, he's like family.
Mm-hmm.
And Will is now graduated, played baseball and football for us at UMS Wright. And he came to us at a time when he was having a difficult time in his life and struggling with some things. And, boy, he really just fit in well at UMS. The kids love him. And his dad got sick not long ago. And you know, when your former players get sick, that's like a family.
Yeah.
And I had a chance to talk to Don's wife, Katie, the other day. And Don's having a real tough time. And it's like a family member. It's just, you know, you see the struggles that family's going through now. And Katie was giving him a bath the day that I talked to her. And it makes you thankful for everything that you have and blessed to have been a part of somebody's life. But the steps that we take to get to where we want to get to, there's sometimes you step right in the middle of something that will carry you the rest of your life. You did that. Randy has done that. Matt Brandt did it when he went out on a venture and they opened up a restaurant and they took a chance. I don't know how many more chances Don's got, but he's run a great business. Had to put his dad in a nursing home a couple of years ago. And, you know, the steps that we take in our life lead us in a direction that we sometimes don't know where we're going, but he does.
Yep.
And I'm thankful for that. Thank you for what you said, Randy. Thank you for what you do for us at PSR. Please pray for the people of Nashville, those six precious lives. The people of Huntsville, Alabama, those two policemen that we lost this past week, Lord. Ask you to be with them. Folks, thank you for being a part of PSR. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. God bless you. See you here, same place, same time, next week.